Shalom, everyone. Welcome to YahVeYahweh.net.com and .name. This is Stefan Yah. The title is Victory Over Sickness as I step up to the podium here this evening. Rather late. Hope I can do a better job than that first file we did. I haven't been feeling that well with the passing away of my lovely wife of 39, actually 41 years that we knew each other back in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s. What a wonderful time. Had great vacations. Went to Yellowstone, Great Basin National Park, Glacier National Park back up north again, and Bryce Canyon, and just many beautiful places. I'm looking at her clothing and her knickknacks and feeling really sad about that. But I want to encourage you, though, that Penny had victory over sickness. Yes, she did for a long time, and it could have continued. So, in the Messiah-separated name, Yahusha, we prayed for healing while at the same time tapering into that healthy diet. The results became obvious. Penny's health and immune system grew strong. And I'm a little bit ahead here because when Penny had cancer a couple of years ago, she went with the conventional forms of medicine that are available right now, the medieval types of surgery. She had brain surgery, a gamma knife operation where electronic rays, hundreds of rays, would focus in on just one part of a tumor and burn it out. That was quite successful. The surgery and the gamma knife seemed to be successful. Then she got into chemotherapy. And after her sixth round, that would be probably more than 6 months of chemotherapy, she was almost dead and lost all of her hair, but that was irrelevant. You know, when life is more important than our hair, right? So we're willing to overlook that. If it would have continued, she would have continued to live. But we had to quit because she would have died. The doctors didn't realize that, but we put a stop to it. And so a year before she died, we called a halt, and they agreed with that was a good decision, thinking as they thought better of it. And so she went for almost a year. And then at one point was diagnosed with more tumors, however, that were progressing. And so, we hadn't really taken the diet seriously. And the different types of pills that we ordered that were very, very beneficial, but we weren't really getting into them that heavily. So, but anyway, we were, even for the 2 years that she bought, I would say that she had victory over that sickness, over that breast cancer. And I want to explain to you why I think that Penny had victory, that we gained 2 years of her life. First of all, the first year, due to the doctors, the surgeons there, and the gamma knife, and maybe even a little bit of the chemo. I'm against that. I think she purchased a year time out of that, possibly. Well, actually, at the same time, we were doing the health foods. We were doing a little bit of carrot juicing, maybe once or twice a week. So it could have been just that. The once or twice a week made a big difference in her health. So I want to proclaim to the world right here on YahVeYahweh.name that Penny had victory. And also in Messiah, well, not also, of course, he is the healer. So we start out in 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter 2:21. As we can back up there a little bit and kind of give you a little more of the context here, we have time for that. Oh, we better. It's more important than anything to read the Scripture. So it says in 1 Peter 2, and he's just talking about our faults and suffer, if you take it patiently. And then verse 21, "For even hereunto were you called, because Yahusha, Messiah, also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps," not only in his suffering, but follow all of the steps of the Messiah. We should follow his steps who did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, and that is to the Father, of course, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. So we're dead to the flesh, and we live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. That's the key phrase there in 1 Peter 2, verse 24, by whose stripes you were healed. That refers back to Isaiah 53. He was bruised for our transgressions. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. And some preachers like to say, well, that didn't refer to physical healing, but we shall see that, it does. And here it talks about the forgiveness of sins, by whose stripes you were healed, for you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop or apostle of your souls, of your bodies there. So we read from 1 Peter 2, then we go to Matthew 8. And those, and we'll come back here to Peter and finish off. You know, we're going to read, not only finish, but we're going to go in depth more to Peter at the end of this broadcast. But some people don't want to hear the scriptures. And so we'll just read for them. We'll just read the second part here. And then at the end, they could leave. But we've got some important things to say about Penny. Then later on in another broadcast, I could read some of her memoirs about her activity with the fire department, driving in the ambulance, and all of that, that she was helping people. But I thought she helped people more when she worked for Right to Life and saved babies. I think she saved 50 babies. That's a victory there. I mean, what we do here on earth to help each other, to mend each other's wounds, you know, by being in the medical profession, that's all fine and good. But how about saving lives? How about saving souls? That's even more. But okay, there, get off the old soapbox, huh? Well but anyway, Matthew chapter 8, and let me start there at verse 5. And when Yahusha was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Yahweh, my servant, or whatever, it's not L-O-R-D because that's Baal, but, and saying, Master, how about that? Master, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Messiah said unto him, I will come and heal him. I will come and heal him is written there in red, although the entire scripture should be in red if it's to quote Messiah, because he is the word. Verse 8, the centurion answered and said, Master, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. So here we are, you know, talking about physical healing. The old centurion in Matthew 8. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, Go, and he goes, and to another, Come, and he comes, and to my servant, Do this, and he does it. When Messiah heard that, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found, Messiah speaking, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Messiah said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And when Messiah, or Yahusha, was come into Kepha's house, or Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother. Now Peter was married. I didn't think the first, you know, if he was a pope, and he wasn't, but how could he have been married? No. But here he was, Peter's house. He saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And some would say, well, they didn't have another word for other relatives, so they just used the word wife. The English word wife. No. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. So now Messiah has healed two people here in this passage. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses, found there in Isaiah 53:4. And with that, we'll break off. And I'm going to get ready later on to go back to 1 Peter 2. But now, some other comments on this file called Victory Over Sickness. Talking about my late wife, Penny. Don't get me crying here. Well, she had an active lifestyle which included some hiking, going up hills. This summer, the summer of 2011, actually early summer because it was Passover, so back there around the third or fourth, I think it was the fourth month, the summer of 2011, we stayed up at a beautiful lake, a huge lake, Odell Lake, and we went up Odell Butte. And she probably climbed, 500 feet of it. I went all the way to the top, and it seemed like I could see four states. It wouldn't have been four, but I could see a lot of huge lakes and small lakes and in-between ones. Then Penny climbed the Lawler and the Mount June trails near Eugene, Oregon. Penny, my wife, showed me a logging road hike up to Ashwaulie Shelter, and I went up there and benefited from her. I don't know how she knew that, but she said, let's go up this road. And so that added to my over 100 different trails that I like to take time to time to stay in shape and also for mental and spiritual renewal. I like to get out there on those trails. If I lived in Sacramento, I'd take the city park trails, I guess, or walk around the Sacramento River. Or if in New York, I'd walk along the Muscatati River, no, what do they call them there? I can't even remember. But or I walk along the Atlantic Ocean, I guess. Penny, my wife, showed me a lot of interesting places to go, didn't she there? We went to California, to Northern California, and she showed me those redwoods in 9/11. She took a trip to a beautiful wildlife safari where there's many, many wild animals. We also went to Bandon, to the West Coast Game Park, where you can pick up a bear or a tiger, a live tiger, and hold it. Yeah, albeit a baby one. There's pictures on our website of my holding a tiger, or at least there was. We'll put the picture back up one of these days. And we could put it here on this page. That would be, right there. Me and the old tiger. Yeah, I could tell you another story about tiger up near, Canby, Oregon, where we had the Feast of Tabernacles with Michael Rood and all that. There was lions and tigers. They're crazy. They're fun. We ordered health products for Penny's health from www.hopeforhealthusa.com, and this included Essie caps for cancer-fighting power, the Anamu and the European green clay. And these are fairly inexpensive, like maybe $20. Though to some, they wouldn't be able to afford that either, but relatively speaking, that's cheap. Because I hear that, some of these pharmaceuticals, these drugs, some of them are probably okay priced. I wouldn't take any if I could help it, but some of them I've heard that are $50, $100 or more, so it's not too bad for around $20, $30. Anamu, which cleanses, and European green clay for light cleansing of the toxins, including flushing out the pharmaceuticals. Those, what's another word? Pharmakia, which is like a necromancer, a witch. It gives us different spirits. Beginning a book from the BrianCall.org about pharmaceuticals. So the Essie caps, the green clay, the Anamu, and all that. And there's also a nurse on call to talk to back in Chicago at Hope for Health USA. And, I even have a phone number here, 800-468-7884. I'm not advertising, and this is not a, thus saith the doctor. I don't have that years and years of study. I don't have any licenses or any of that stuff there. So you're not to use what I say as as advice. We got to put that disclaimer in there. Hope for Health in Knoxville, Illinois. That's P.O. Box 220 in Knoxville, Illinois, 61448. And once again, that phone number, you can get a nurse right now if you're that drastic as we were, at 800-468-7884. And she gave us for free. The advice was for free. And I've got a big Essie cap bottle there. It's not even open yet. I probably just give it away. In fact, had a request from Hezekiah's wife. She thought maybe she'd have a need for that. So Penny, my wife, conquered the cancer problem for 2 years. And then on the 10th month of 2011, she changed her diet drastically, and I talked about that in our previous file, in file one there. And she changed her diet drastically with those sugar cookies. Within hours, she lost mental and physical energy, and for the duration, for the rest of the next month, and then she passed away. She kicked the bucket on me, and I'm without the woman I loved. It was I'd covenanted with and married in '72 by Father John Salvador in McKinleyville, and we lived in the Redwoods. I worked in radio, worked up and down the West Coast, and we just had a pretty good life. It wasn't the ideal life all of the time, and that marriage is not supposed to. There's supposed to be a challenge there, and that it was. But anyway, going into we need to go into the 10 things for health. I don't want to get down too much on what happened. We did that in the last program, and I could grieve all day and we could all get down. This is the wrong time of year for people to be dying. Now, come on, you guys. It just tears the rest of us up way too much. I'm, feel depression, and what am I going to do? Well, I'll walk up to the podium here and try to share with others how not to eat yourself to the grave. So here's 10 things of recovery from just about any sickness, leukemia, cancer, anything. And once again, this is not to be taken as as medical advice or something, whatever that disclaimer there is. It's not the last word. So the 10 things, and I got this from Dr. Day, drday.com. I don't think you can find that text on her website, but somewhere in her teachings, she has the 10 points there, including living foods, regular exercise, and I'll go into each one of these. Water, 8 to 10 glasses. Sunlight, fresh air, temperance, no harmful substances. Bedtime, 9:30. Trust in Yahusha the Messiah, whom she called G-O-D and J-E-S-U-S. An attitude of gratitude and benevolence. Actually, point 8 there, trust in Yahweh, that should be first. So let's make that point number 1. I don't know why I put that up at point 8. Maybe I'll change it if I remember here. Trust in Yahweh and in His Messiah, Yahusha. We need to grow in the faith, not just be, quote, comfortable. As we learn how to love Him, some of the pressure and stress is taken off. And truly, if you believe in the resurrection, there is hope. There's the blessed hope. Or you could choose vanity on how to just be futile and everything. I can't think of the other word there that, like, it starts with the same letter, but like futile, You know, it's just a purposeless, a meaningless life without Messiah. And truly in living and in dying without Messiah, you know, it just takes all the fun out of dying. It takes all the fun out of everything with taking Yahusha out. I've met so many wonderful people back in the Christianity and Church of God of Prophecy. It was a fun church to be with. They prayed so hard, strong, warm fellowship, and many other denominations at that time that we enjoyed, which have since then have changed and gone downhill for the most part. There's still a couple out there. Anyway, that was point eight. It's trust in Yahweh and the Messiah. Yeah, here I am getting off on that tangent about which church to attend, which Yahweh would choose for us. It's not the church of our choice or the assembly or synagogue of our choice. It is the synagogue of Yahweh's choice. So that's all I better say there for lack of time. Next, an attitude of gratitude, including thankfulness. Be thankful to Yahweh. What a wonderful time of year with Thanksgiving coming up. Turkey Day, football day, right? No, it's Thanksgiving. Forget the turkey, forget the TV, unplug the stupid thing, throw it out. That's a lot of people have done that, gone to extremes, but I haven't turned it on. I do not turn it on. So an attitude of gratitude, thankfulness, no grudges or being vindictive, unless you are a person in authority who must judge. If you are appointed by the state or by an assembly to be the judge there. But otherwise, you and I are not judges. We're not to be vindictive and going around insisting that people do everything our way or else they will pay for it, you know, because we don't have the authority there to do that. And then the next point is benevolence. I got down at point 10, benevolence, helping others be discerning and discreet. Be discerning and, about whether or not we should do this or that, or be with this person or that person, about doing anything. Be discerning and be discreet. If we're going to do anything that might look like it's wrong to somebody else, then, but it isn't wrong, then we should be careful about that, okay? So I'm going to move those points out to point 1, 2, and 3, I think. Trust in Yahweh, an attitude of gratitude and benevolence, helping others and being discerning and discreet. Now, the other points here involve not so much the spiritual. Okay, point one is eat living foods. Don't try not to eat anything out of the box or canned dead stuff. And as you juice, you might get a hold of one of those champion mixers, juicers rather, or if you can't afford that, because that's hundreds of dollars, perhaps the Juice Man Jr. or some other brand, but they're not going to do a good job on wheatgrass or on lettuce and different leafy things like that, as the Champion and other expensive brands will do. You can find them at probably a secondhand store for $50 or $100. But try to juice and drink this quickly, like within 2.5 minutes. Drink it soon. Juice 4 or 5 carrots. Well, perhaps for myself, I'd just have 3 medium or large carrots. And mix that with a little celery and apple in there. And they say to peel the apple first because the apples are sprayed. So I don't take the time to do that. I don't peel them. I don't do some of these things, but that's what we're supposed to do, is peel them. Okay, let's see if we can make a difference here. So the top foods are organic celery juice. And there's some controversy whether or not the celery has to be organic or not. Carrots, right at the top. Cantaloupe, blueberries, sweet potatoes. So carrots, apples. Wait a minute, I don't even have that down there. I better add that because that's very important. Apples. Top foods are organic celery juice, carrots, apple, cantaloupe, blueberries, and sweet potatoes. We juice the sweet potatoes, but you could also cook them. At least you'd be getting more benefit than not having any sweet potato. That's point one. Was point one. It'll be different when I get through here. And then point two, regular exercise. You can't quit with PE when you get out of high school or whatever they called it. I don't use that word aerobics or whatever. So they say exercise for 20 minutes, I would say at least an hour per day. You've got to have that exercise. Even if you're in a wheelchair, there's exercises that you can do. Some people probably can't do anything. You have to use your eyelids, you know. First push-ups with your left eyelid when you get up. First the left eyelid. One, two, one, two. And then the right eyelid. Three, four, three, four, three, four. Get a little exercise, however, but for an hour a day. Something strenuous, a challenge. Something you don't normally do. And then it should be fun. It should be a challenge, something that you're, you know, a goal that would make you want to do it. Instead of just sitting around in the house and doing these dead, laying around on the floor and stuff. I don't get into that. I don't know. Maybe some people. Maybe you can do that. So exercise, living foods, and next, water. 8 to 10 glasses of pure water. That's 2 liters for patients. Next is sunlight, 10 to 15 minutes minimum. I would say about 2 hours would be nice, but some places don't get that. They're behind a hill or for much of the year. But 2 hours of sunshine would be nice, but minimum of 15 minutes sunlight. Next, fresh air. That's very important. Leave the window open a crack or two at night also. And so that if I'm a burglar, I can break in quietly and turn over a table lamp. But if the table lamp is already turned over, then I'll assume that your place has been robbed, and I'll leave quickly and quietly. Huh? You don't believe that? But don't stay in a don't stay up in a cooped-up room with no real live air. Use mountain fresh air, if possible. Yes, move to the Alps. Well, that wouldn't hurt. Move to the Cascades, the Alleghenies, or Tennessee or something. Fresh air, leaving the window open a crack or two at night. This is serious. You've got to beat the cancer. So you might have to move out of Burbank, move out of Atlanta, go out where the air is fresh, move up to higher ground, because you want to save your life. You know, you want to live more than a year or two. Say if you'd like to live 10 years, or perhaps 20, you've got to keep it up. Keep up that good, hearty lifestyle. Move to Alaska, or talk to somebody who moved from New York to Alaska and ask them what their experience was. I'll bet you that a lot of them had health problems and cancer and so on. And then they moved there for their health, and wow. Judge Waldo, back in the 1890s through 1913, he went to Odell Lake, Oregon a lot for his health. He took a buggy from Salem, Oregon, to Waldo Lake. And he stayed up there for about 3 months in the summertime in the 1890s. And I think he probably would have had, asthma or something. But it could have been cancer. So I don't know. It doesn't say in his book. So that's very inspirational, a man like that. Pick up some good books of people who have beaten cancer. 10,000, 20,000, hundreds of thousands of people have beaten cancer. It's not a stigma. That's a misrepresentation of the truth. That's what the news media will tell you, that cancer is a stigma, it can't be cured, and you're going to die. Well, I have news that if you were on your deathbed, such as drday.com was, Dr. Day, as opposed to Dr. Knight, I don't know who she but you could recover just like Dr. Day. She looks like a 40-year-old woman, or younger even, and here she's in her 70s now. Maybe, I was wondering how she did that, but she looks beautiful. And my wife as well looked beautiful when she wasn't doing the chemo and when she wasn't following the wrong way. in that respect of diet and so on. Okay, another point here. I don't want to judge her, because the main thing I'm concerned about is this stigma that cancer is incurable, that there is no way. And a lot of you people are saying hallelujah to that, but however you say it, or however you say it, they're just that Yahva put in us, and the Messiah put in us, a miracle, and that our bodies contain the power to overcome just about anything. A few of us, or, 1 or 2%, are going to fall through the cracks, and you are not that 1 or 2%, or you wouldn't even be listening. So the exercise, the living foods, sunlight, fresh air, temperance, no harmful substances. So we try to stay away from alcohol and beer. Certainly cigarette smoking is very forbidden. MSGs, GMOs, GMO being a genetically modified fruits and vegetables and foods, GMOs. Stay away from sugar. No sugar. They want you to keep it down to a couple of grams per serving, per person. And then, of course, the bedtime. Yeah, I've got about 50 minutes to go until my bedtime. You're supposed to go to bed at 9:30 p.m., according to Dr. Day. And if you don't do that, she's going to come over and take care of that. She'll discipline you over the Internet or something. But no, 9:30, I don't follow that rule, and I should. So I'm not going to be in that good health if I would follow the rule. I don't feel like going to bed at 9:30. Some people say they can't, but she said 9:30. So that's a good time to do that, summer or winter. And then, of course, trusting in Yahva, an attitude of gratitude and benevolence, helping others. Let's see what else we have here. Try to juice with a professional juicer like Champion. Try your secondhand stores. Try to not mix fruit and vegetable juice together, because it could cause your tummy to get a little sour. But apples are the exception there. Apples can mix with either vegetables or other fruit. No drinking. Now, here's a whole bunch of little rules I'm going to put on the Internet. I don't know if you can digest this quickly enough. And then I've got links. I certainly can't read all of these for you. But, let me just go through. There's only a few things here. No snacking between meals. Very seriously. Watching any products like canned, box, drinks, or raw sugar. If you have tumors, you might crave sugar, like Penny did, and she fell. But that's what the tumors like. It's a fact. People say, no, it isn't. No, you need protein, you need sugar, you need all that junk out there. You need GMOs. Yeah, right, give me more GMOs, please. Fill me up with some MSG. How about a big bowl of sugar for breakfast for me? No, that'd kill me, even though we all have tumors, but no, I don't want any of that. How about a nice bowl of soup? That would be good for you. That would be healthy. A bowl of good soup, especially a vegetable soup or chicken soup. No drinks a half an hour before juicing. That's one half hour before and 1 hour after juicing. Be sure to chew food thoroughly. I got to write that in here. Chew thoroughly. T-H-O-U-R. No, I don't know. Oh, well, I can do it. Oop, I guess there's not a U in there. Okay, maybe that. Chew food thoroughly. Because if you don't, you wind up with problems there. Home nutritionists recommend no more than 5 to 7 grams of sugar per serving. Now, I get away with twice that, but you're playing with your life, so... I don't know. Sometimes I do get away with that, but I shouldn't be doing that. Dr. Lorraine specifies 2 liters. That's 8 full glasses of water per day. DrDay.com, this woman was on her deathbed, but she and 10,000s and many more are healthy today because they weaned off of the cow and they didn't compromise on their diet. So don't give up. Don't do that. Regardless of what your body tells you, we can't always listen to our body, to our conscience, to our heart. Our heart is extremely deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I think it's Jeremiah 17 is where that verse is. Chew your food and let the natural juices work. That's why we need to stop snacking and let the tummy send the right things to our organs. We can't afford to go on a quick binge and fool around with what enters our bodies. If you have to eat meat, try some trout or salmon. And no seafood, no pork. Chicken is bad enough, and fish may help. Try not to eat the farm fish that they, you know, try to raise out there, I guess, in some sort of a bulky corporate way or another. Raising your own animals is another good idea, but having your own garden is much better. Even raising your own animals will not bypass the meat problem. But it is an improvement anyway. Your body begins to shun the dairy and the meat as you give them up, and you'll desire the vegetables. I've never gone back to the old hamburger. I never needed to. I suppose if I were on a long trip, but that wouldn't be good for driving to do that. Remember the websites, Hallelujah Acres or hacres.com. That's H-Acres, A-C-R-E-S, hacres.com. A very powerful source for your health. HopeForHealthUSA.com. And then there's others, CancerTruth.net, Dr. Day, CSpinit.org, KosherVitamins.com, that's Kosher Vitamins with a K, CureZone.com, there's Penn State Hershey, and a long address there, Adam. New Seasons Market, World Without Cancer, MenAgainstBreastCancer.org, Dr. David Cohen.org. Cohen, C-O-H-E-N. Now, this program is not meant to give medical advice. I'm not a qualified doctor, as the world would think you should be. And if you have any questions or tips, please ask and send us an email to Stephan Yah. That's Stephan Yah with a T. If you hit the contact button, sometimes those people with Windows 7... sometimes they don't get through, so you might just type in Stephan Yah with a T. T-S-E-P-H-A-N-Y-A-H. Stephan Yah at YahvahYahweh.name. And you can look on the website as to how that's all spelled there. And let me just quickly check and see if I've forgotten everything. Oh, we're going to read from Peter. I know you love to hear the scripture verse, or you probably wouldn't tune in, so I'm hearing James. And I think our program is probably about 40 minutes in here. 37. So I don't need to go an hour, but we're doing victory over sickness. Namely, that to nullify the stigma of cancer, to correct that there. And people's jobs are in the medical profession these days, so they probably wouldn't appreciate. So be careful who you tell. I don't want to get into too much. Anyway, First Peter, I think we're in chapter 2. So we'll be reading here from the word of Yahvah. Excuse me. It says, but the word of Yahvah endureth forever. This is the word which by the evangelist preached in 1 Peter 1:25. Chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, and that would include me. I've only been saved for 30 years, so 30 or plus years, so I'm still a babe. Those who have been saved for over 100 years, you could say that you've graduated to the juvenile stage. Right? So we're just babes. Desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Verse 5, you also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a separated priesthood, to offer up spiritual offerings acceptable to Yahweh by Yahusha HaMashiach. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. Isaiah 28:16. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which The builders disallowed, the same as made the head of the corner. Those who stumble at the word, being disobedient. Verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a separated nation. So there it is, twice now that you're a priesthood, so shouldn't we act like a priesthood, walk like one, even look like a priest of Yahweh, even wearing the garments that Yahweh specified for the man, the beard, the tallit, and the cap? That's for the priests. Now the hat is only for the priests. But the tallit is, my understanding, for everyone, including men, women, and all believers, but especially the man there. Which in time past you were not a people. You were not people of Yahweh, but you are now the people of Yahweh, which had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. Oh, all right. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Yes, yes. Abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the Spirit, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, which may by your good works, which they shall behold, that is, keeping the feasts and so on, not eating pork, that they magnify Yahweh in the day of visitation, in your day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for Yahweh's sake, whether it be a king as supreme or unto governors, and we go down to as free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. Talking to the Baptists there, the cloak, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of Yahweh, honor all men, love the brotherhood, and fear Yahweh, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters. Then to verse 20 in 1 Peter 2. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, that is acceptable with Yahweh. For even hereunto were you called, because Yahusha, Messiah, also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Ephesians 4:17 as well. Then we'll skip because we've already done that part. And then, likewise, wives, in chapter 3, be in subjection to your own husbands. Well, that doesn't go along with today's culture in America, or most other countries, does it? Even in Japan. I was shocked to find out that the Japanese women want to, quote, wear the pants and take over and tell the husband what to do. That's, you know, that's... Well, the pendulum swung the other way. It never stops in the middle, right? And it talks about how women are to be adorned there. That your prayers be not hindered. Talks to the husbands there. Giving honor unto the wife and the weaker vessel. Verse 8, finally be all of one mind, having... Now, that doesn't mean we're going to compromise. Oh, you don't believe that immersion is important. Okay, well, I'll compromise. No, that's not saying that. Be of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous. The Greek word 5391. Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise, rendering blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. 12, for the eyes of Yahweh are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of Yahweh is against them that do evil. Would you like me to, in a minute here? And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? And if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. Okay, I'll repeat that then. Verse 12, for the eyes of Yahweh are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of Yahweh is against them that do evil. That was 1 Peter 3:12, third chapter here. Be always ready to give an answer to every man that asks you for a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Then it is better if the will of Yahweh be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For, now here's a word to the Catholics. We're not putting you down. I was a Catholic and I taught religion. And I taught CCD. For Messiah also has once suffered for sins. So not every Sunday morning for breakfast, for the Mass there. No, once he suffered for sins. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to Yahweh, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Talks about Noah, saved by water, and the like figure whereunto even baptism or immersion does also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward Yahweh, by the resurrection of Yahusha HaMashiach. Again, the like figure whereunto even immersion does also now save us, by the resurrection of Yahusha HaMashiach. So there it says, no, we don't have to get baptized, just Yahusha did it for us, so why should we? We just follow, let him be our example and not follow him literally. No, it doesn't say that. Why are so many people and elders in the evangelical church, these Protestant religions go around saying that, and Baptists say we don't have to, and where it says here that it does save us, and Romans, it's the 12th chapter and many other places, by the resurrection of Yahusha. I know we have differences here, but I just, I want to do what's right, to be obedient. And Yahusha, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of Yahweh, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. And then the fourth chapter, I think we'll probably, we might end up there pretty much, as I kind of skip through the major points that I have underlined here while I'm still at the pulpit and you're listening. I appreciate this. Verse 3, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine. Notice that word excess there. Revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excessive riot, speaking evil of you. I remember there in Japan, in Yokohama, down at Chinatown, that we used to tear off each other's shirts and pour a great big drink down the guy. It's got to be good for the liver. Some of those men are not around, I'm sorry. How I made it, it's beyond me. How we made it this far. But we are here, we are living today. But we live according to Yahweh in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be you therefore sober and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent love, or charity. Let's not use charity, that's wrong. Have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins. And we're not talking about Eros love or Philadelphia there necessarily. We're talking about agape, about Spirit-filled love, Spirit-filled fellowship with Yahweh and with his people. And hospitality there. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of Yahweh. As to speak the word of Yahweh. Not thus saith the minister, but thus saith Yahweh's word. I don't have to have a big letters after my name. Stephan Yah Eber. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Yahusha's sufferings, that when his esteem shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Yahusha, or Yahusha, be happy, for the spirit of kavod, or the spirit of esteem and of Yahweh rests upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is magnified. 16. But if any man suffer as a believer, now they've got Christian written there, but where did that word come from? So I'll have to strike that. It's not Christos. If any man suffer as a believer, let him not be ashamed, but let him magnify Yahweh on his behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of Yahweh. And if it first began at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the evangel of Yahweh? Chapter 5, verse 5. Be subject one to another. Resist the proud, give favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of Yahweh, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Proverbs 3:34 as well. Be sober, be vigilant. 9. Resist Satan. Resist him. Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But Yahweh, of all unmerited favor, who has called to us his eternal esteem by Yahusha HaMashiach, after that you have suffered a little while, make you perfect. May he make you perfect. Here's the blessing here we're doing. May he make me and may he make you perfect. Oh, come on now, we don't have to be. Yes, he said, be you perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, so I guess that's our goal. Huh? Yeah, come on. Come on. Let's hear some hallelujahs, hallelujahs. After that you have suffered a little while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be esteem and dominion forever and ever. Hallelujah. And that's the end of, that's right up to verse 11 anyway, of 1 Peter 5. And you could read the whole portion there of the word of Yahweh. So, part one was sleeping in Messiah. I didn't think that all of it was pertinent. I took some rabbit trails there and things, but maybe you enjoyed that anyway. You might let me know on that, and let me know how it's how the volume is and the clarity. And you're listening over there in wherever, Ethiopia or something, to YahvahYahweh.name. I appreciate your clicking in on this website and giving us an opportunity here to minister. Makes us feel very used of Yahweh, very special. I realize that it's, an opportunity that's not always going to be there, but there's only one life we have to live, and many, many opportunities. We have some opportunities to do evil. A slick person might come along and try to seduce us into doing evil. I worry about that, but especially now that I don't have the protection of my wife and of her covering. But I have to trust in Yahweh and the Ruach HaKadosh, the Spirit. But let us not take advantage of those opportunities. We have many of those evil opportunities, to be cunning and to take unfair advantage of people in the office, in the business place, in the market, and so on. We don't want to do that now. Let's stop doing that if we can there, and at least little by little, if not immediately, repent, and let's have our hearts made up. Let's make up our minds and our hearts to do good and to take advantage of the great opportunities that Yahweh is offering us in our one life that we have to live. What will we do tonight or this morning, wherever you are? What are we going to do that's uplifting, that's helping Yahweh and helping his brothers and sisters down here, his sons and daughters down here, rather, his kings and priests who are and priests, women and men who are out there in Yahweh's kingdom here on earth? What will we do today for Yahweh? Will we pass on some good news, send a kind email to somebody, or you may not want to send him a long sermon, but something that would be of exhortation, of encouragement in some way? I send these scriptures to these pagan people out there and out in the metropolis, the urban utopia, the glass palaces that they live in and so on, and some of them don't appreciate it, but anyway, I'm doing my part, and let them know that I'm doing it in the right spirit. I'm wanting to help. I know that whatever they do is probably, I don't want to question their motive that much, but they probably are doing it with what they think is a pure motive too. Whether they are working for communism to justify the means and to get everything eventually for themselves, that's a selfish motive. That's why I think that communists work so hard, is because they know that eventually that they're going to be the recipients of their works and their deeds, and they want to glomp it all up for themselves sooner or later and confiscate other people's property and wealth and livelihood, turn us into slaves and so on. But I just want to play team. I want to work together. I don't want to take somebody else's rights away. If they want to worship a snake or whatever, then that's up to them. But I would like to discourage them from worshiping snakes and idols and so on. Right? Isn't that what we want to do? That's what it's all about, is helping one another here in this imperfect world, in this user-unfriendly jungle, wherever we might be. It's not that easy. So, what did I say? One life and many opportunities, and Maranatha, thanks for checking in, and what is it we always say? Hallel Yahweh. Praise unto Yahweh, unto His esteemed name. We lift Him up. We praise You, Yahweh, today, and Yahusha, Your Son. We praise You, Almighty Yah. Thank You for Your blessings. Come down and touch my sister there in Berkeley area of California, that Shelley Antella, she needs Your prayer. She's going to get another pacemaker. Well, that's maybe all fine and good, but we lift her up. She's a believer. She uses different titles and names for You, but we know that You've called and that You love her. And those others around the world who are hurting, healing, Mary, please help us and heal their marriages. Keep us away from false doctrine, from vain psychology and philosophies of men, traditions of men, from getting involved with the ecumenical movement and having corrupt versions of Scripture and using that and doing despite under the word of Yahweh. Help us with, it would be such a prayer if I could just pray all this and it would, just happen. But it's up to You. It's Your timing, Heavenly Father. Yahweh, we thank You. We praise You. And this is just a little work that we're doing here. Just the half a dozen or so people among us here, or however many that You might provide. We can help one another. Help Elia.com out there in Tennessee. Help Hezekiah up in the Portland area. On JewsForYeshua.com and show him what the Shua means. Not to use it. And his wonderful wife, Abigail, there. We pray for folks along in the sin-infested jungles and the large cities. Have to put up with a whole lot more punishment than we do. We're very blessed. Yeah, we're not in the ghetto, but sometimes we are spiritually in the ghetto. But we've just read that First Peter, and that should be enough encouragement to us. We thank You, thank You, thank You, thank You so much. Thanksgiving unto Yahweh. This be our Thanksgiving program. Then may Penny's life, Penny Eber, I use that internet name and Hebraic name. We lift her life up as an example to others, some things to do and others not to do, not to listen to other friends. On this Thanksgiving time of 2011, Yahweh, we would just pray that our lives would have some meaning, some impact on those out there who need You. They're hurting, but they don't even know that they need You. Others, they know they need You, and they don't know how. They don't know how to reach out for You, Yahweh. Oh, Yahweh, Yahweh-Hosha. Bless our brother Terrell, who's having Crohn's disease of the colon, Crohn's disease there in Springfield, Oregon, that You might reach out and touch that man and touch his heart to make him compassionate for all the lost, for those whom You are calling right now and electing and choosing, that Brother Terrell would have that love for his people, for the sheep out there. And that he does have as he ministers in Africa. Thank You for the good works that he's done on the OurChurch.net, Quinault Street and all that on his website. And for many, many others who are doing Yahweh's work. Some I don't want to mention, but I think of the teaching that they do out there. Nehemiah Gordon and so on, Nehemiah. Many people I don't understand I don't know, you know, about their doctrine in some things, but in others, they're keeping Torah. There's Messianics, there's Hebraics, and we're thankful for the whole synagogue congregation out there who's lifting you up in Yahusha's name, Hallel Yahweh.